We are studying along in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts to notice what happened in the community where the early church was when the early church judged sin in its members. In this fifth chapter, the most central thing that happened was that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the church about the money they received for a piece of property. Peter confronted them with that lie. It resulted in the death of Ananias and afterwards in the death of Sapphira. And when the public got to hear about it, what they found out was that that group of Christian people were going to be honest. They were going to be straightforward and sincere. And they weren't going to tolerate dishonest with anybody. They would condemn dishonesty anywhere, even among rich people, even among men who gave a lot to the church. Now, if you wanted to build it up, you could say that Ananias was a good man, he gave a lot to the church, and it was given to the poor. Wouldn't have bothered Peter. It wouldn't have affected Peter's mind. Peter was bringing out the truth, and the truth of the matter is Ananias lied. And in so doing, he injured something, I think, personally. He injured something in the church as a whole. And when he lied, he didn't lie to men, he lied to God. But in any case, it had been done with the result that the community got to get the idea that this early church would actually condemn sin in its members. In other words, they were going to be honest. They were going to be sincere. You could depend upon them. And they were greatly impressed. Now, when they were so much impressed, there were those in the community who were leaders of religion, the chief priests and others, the high priest and those that were with him, were filled with resentment because the common people were so appreciative of the honesty of this early church. And the authorities were very much opposed to what was going on and opposed to the apostles preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put them in jail. And then we read in the book of Acts in chapter 5, in verses 19, 20, and 21, we read that the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life," and that's what they did. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest came, and they that were with him called the council together, just like calling court together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought, to bring in the prisoners. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found me shut with all safety, the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. More spectacular all the time. This is just strange. Bound to be sensational in the community. Everybody would want to know. And verse 25, "Then came one of them and said, saying, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned." I'm sure this was a very, very exciting sort of an event as it happened there. And it's one that I don't know that you and I would ever see anything just like it. But we can read it here and notice about it. I want you to notice that when these authorities opposed the early church, they were doing just what had been done before. Peter and John had been opposed before when they healed that lame man, and now they were being opposed again. The reason they're being opposed is that their message is popular, that everybody wants to know more about it. And so they and the common people wanted to hear these things. But the leaders of the religion of the day were opposed to it, and in spite of everything, they jailed these apostles. There is a consistency in this, and I don't know how far you'd want to take it, but I have a saying that sometimes comes through my mind. When it comes to people doing wrong just because this is what was done before, of course they don't do wrong because it's wrong, according to what they say. But they say, "This is what has been done before, and we're just the children of our fathers, and what they did, we'll do. This is a form of consistency that I'm inclined to say is the refuge of weak men. When I go on doing something that was done before just because it was done before, and I'm not going to change it, I'm going to do the same thing. Well, what was done before was wrong. Well, we always have done it that way, that's the way we'll do it." Take, for instance, here's a church that never has had special services. They've never had special evangelistic services. They've never had revival services. They meet once on Sunday, as the case may be, and maybe they have an occasional meeting on Wednesday night or some other time. But apart from that, they don't want anything else. You say to them, but the times are such we need something more. And they'll tell you, we never have done it. Our church never has done it. We'll just keep on doing the way everything's been done. And this is what I mean when I say that that type of consistency is the refuge of weak men. And actually, the common people wouldn't have wanted it that way. When these men opposed the apostles and threw them in prison and brought them in and told them not to preach, they were ignoring the common judgment of the common people. Because really and truly, so far as the people are concerned, the people would have wanted it to be just as it had happened. They would have wanted those disciples to be preaching. So they went and arrested them, and they brought them into the court, brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And now notice, in verses 27 and 28, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now that word straitly means sternly, strictly. Did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You've got everybody talking about it, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They were feeling that all that the early Christians were doing was to make the community responsible and the leaders of religion responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. This sharp indictment against the apostles is a way of saying to them, you ignored our guidance. And it's the kind of criticism that can be leveled by those in authority to those who are trying to preach the gospel. And this is what they did to them. And now notice in verses 29 to 33 how Peter answered this. We read, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then went on to say, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, as so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Isn't that a strange thing? Here was Peter's plain, clear testimony. And by the way, did you notice, and his testimony was that they ought to obey God rather than man, that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that God had exalted him to his right hand to make him a prince and a savior, that he was in a position to grant repentance and to give repentance and forgiveness of sins to the people, and that the disciples were just going through to tell them that this Jesus of Nazareth was now Christ, at the right hand of God, and that he would forgive anybody that would turn to him. And the Holy Spirit who was with them said the same things. Did you notice in what Peter said that he made no defense of himself? You notice he didn't refer to his own conduct or his own record. You notice he had no such thing to say, I've always done the right thing, I've always been a good man, and I have a character references here. People will tell you that I'm everything I ought to be. He didn't base it upon that. And do you notice that he didn't particularly talk about what was going to happen to him? He made no complaint about how he had been treated. Everything Peter had to say about was about the Lord. Everything that he could bring in was about the Lord. And he took this opportunity to preach the gospel. He spoke of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He spoke of the call to repentance and to the promise of the remission of sins. And he gave them to understand that the Holy Spirit was from God. All these things poured out when Peter was given this opportunity in this fashion. And so, instead of stopping him from preaching, he was preaching right while he was in court. Now, you can see something all the way along. Remember that back of this, there is going along all the time a strong support from the people as a whole and from the church and in the community. Now, the leaders of the organized religion were opposed to it, but Peter could feel the strong support throughout all the people round about. And what we're learning here and what we're seeing is the effect, the consequence of what happens when the church is honest and straightforward in dealing with the things that pertain to relationship with God. Now remember how this thing all developed. The early church, in its meeting, gathering together with the people, and they had among them two people, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, who bought a piece of land, sold it, and brought in some money to the church, claimed that was all there was. But they lied. They'd kept back part of the money. Peter confronted them with the lie. Ananias dropped dead. He confronted Sapphira with the lie, and Sapphira dropped dead. When these two prominent people, well-to-do people, died in this fashion, in the presence of all this trouble that they had, that made a profound effect upon people, in the church and outside the church. Inside the church, the people humbly began to seek the face of God. There was an honesty and a sincerity in their relationship with God. The people outside were greatly affected. They wanted to know more about this because it sounded as if these Christians really knew the Lord and the Lord was actually real. And all these things came up to this point. So you remember they threw the apostles in jail. But when the apostles were thrown in jail, God brought them out and they went right on preaching. And they went on telling everybody about these things. And now we come finally to the way in which the opposition was actually going to try and stop them. And they were in court and were thinking about how they could kill them to stop them. And it was another man in court, one of the Jews themselves by the name of Gamaliel, that got up and gave advice on the whole subject, which we will notice in our next study. But all the way through, what you can feel here is that there was movement among the whole, all the congregation. There was interest in the community. There was effectiveness in their preaching and testimony. And there was blessing upon them. And what at the bottom of was there at the bottom of this whole business? A certain honesty and integrity, no hypocrisy, no pretense, genuinely looking to God. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us each one to be faithful to Thee, and especially keep us close in sincerity and truth. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.